Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Origin of Capitalism, A Longer View is a work of historical political economy by Ellen Mikesens Wood, a leading Marxist historian and theorist of political Marxism. First published in 1999 and later issued in expanded form, the book challenges the familiar idea that capitalism naturally emerged from trade, commerce, or the growth of cities. Instead, Wood argues that capitalism was a historically specific social system that developed through deep changes in property relations, especially in English agrarian society. Her purpose is not simply to retell economic history, but to explain why capitalism arose when and where it did, and why it should not be treated as an inevitable stage of human development. The book is compact but intellectually dense, combining historical survey, theoretical critique, and close engagement with Marx, Brenner, and other historians of transition. It is widely read in debates about the origins of modern capitalism, imperialism, and the modern state. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why capitalism cannot be explained as a natural outgrowth of trade and markets. Wood begins by criticizing the long tradition that treats capitalism as a gradual extension of commerce. Thinkers such as Adam Smith, Max Weber, Fernand Braudel, and Henri Pirenne are important to her because they represent a powerful assumption once trade expands and wealth accumulates. Capitalism supposedly follows almost automatically. Wood rejects this logic. For her, markets and trade existed in many pre-capitalist societies without producing capitalism. The decisive issue is not the presence of exchange, but the social relations governing production. By separating capitalism from simple commercial development, she changes the explanatory frame of economic history. Capitalism is not defined by buying and selling alone, but by a system in which producers are compelled to rely on the market for access to subsistence, and where surplus labor is appropriated through market dependence rather than direct political or extra-economic coercion. This distinction is central to the whole book because it prevents capitalism from being reduced to universal human behavior. It also forces readers to ask what historical conditions made market dependence itself into a social necessity. Secondly, the agrarian transformation that made capitalist social property relations possible. The core argument of the book is that capitalism emerged first in the countryside, not in the city. Wood places special emphasis on English agrarian society, where relations among landlords, tenant farmers, and rural producers were transformed in ways that increased dependence on the market. In her account, the key innovation was not simply more trade or more private property in the abstract, but a new competitive pressure among landholders and tenants that altered how production was organized. Peasants were increasingly separated from secure access to land, while tenants had to improve productivity and remain profitable in order to keep leases and survive. This created market imperatives inside production itself. Wood treats this as a historically unusual arrangement. Economic actors were compelled to specialize, compete, and raise productivity because their social survival depended on it. The importance of this argument is that it locates capitalism in the transformation of property relations rather than in technological progress or commercial opportunity. It also helps explain why England, rather than some more commercially advanced society, became the decisive birthplace of capitalism in her analysis. Thirdly, a Marxist method focused on the specificity of historical development, Wood's method is as important as her conclusion. She writes from the perspective of political Marxism, drawing on Marx's critique of political economy while also engaging the Brenner debate and the work of E.P. Thompson. Her historical approach is built around rejecting teleology, the idea that history naturally moves toward capitalism as an endpoint. Instead, she asks what specific social relations made a capitalist outcome possible in one place and not another. This method matters because it refuses to treat categories like markets, accumulation, or class change as self-explanatory. Wood insists that historians must identify the concrete pressures that shaped behavior in particular societies. Her approach also broadens Marxist history beyond purely economic determinism by emphasizing the role of political and social property structures. The result is a disciplined form of explanation. Capitalism is not assumed, but demonstrated. Readers encounter a model of historical analysis that is comparative, argumentative, and skeptical of broad evolutionary narratives. This makes the book influential not only for what it says about capitalism, but for how it shows historians to build an account of structural change. Fourthly, rethinking class, coercion, and the distinctive logic of capitalist exploitation. A major contribution of the book is Wood's definition of capitalist exploitation. She argues that what distinguishes capitalism from earlier systems is not the absence of coercion in society as a whole, but the specific way surplus labor is extracted through market relations. In feudal or tributary systems, surplus could be taken through direct political or legal domination. In capitalism, by contrast, workers appear legally free, yet they must sell labor power because they do not control the means of subsistence. This creates a different kind of compulsion, one enforced by market dependence rather than by obvious lordly force. Wood uses this distinction to show why capitalism is historically unique and why class relations cannot be understood only in terms of ownership or income. The market itself becomes a disciplinary mechanism. This argument also clarifies why capitalism can coexist with formal freedom while still generating deep exploitation. The book is therefore not simply about origins. It also provides a structural account of how capitalism works once established. That makes it valuable for readers interested in both historical transition and the logic of capitalist domination. Lastly, imperialism and the expansion of agrarian capitalism beyond England. In its later sections, the book extends the analysis from origins to wider historical consequences, including agrarian capitalism and capitalist imperialism. Wood does not treat imperial expansion as an accidental add-on to capitalism, but as something linked to the pressures and dynamics of the capitalist social order. Once production is organized around competitive market imperatives, states and ruling classes are drawn into wider processes of expansion, extraction, and geopolitical rivalry. This part of the book helps connect local agrarian change to global history. It also prevents the origin story from remaining narrowly national or purely economic. Capitalism, in Wood's framework, is inseparable from the formation of modern state power and from the movement of capitalist relations beyond their original setting. By ending with imperialism, the book signals that capitalism should be understood as a system with expansionary tendencies, not merely a set of domestic market exchanges. This gives the work broader relevance for readers trying to understand colonialism, uneven development, and the global reach of modern capitalism. In conclusion, The Origin of Capitalism: A Longer View is best suited to readers who want a serious account of capitalism that goes beyond standard economic history. It will be especially useful for students and scholars of history, political theory, sociology, Marxist thought, and the history of the modern state. But it also rewards general readers willing to engage with a dense argument. Its main benefit is conceptual clarity. Wood explains why capitalism should not be confused with trade, money, or markets in general, and why the historical transition to capitalism required specific changes in social property relations. Compared with many books on the subject, it stands out for its refusal to treat capitalism as a universal stage of development. Instead, it offers a sharply argued historical explanation rooted in agrarian change, class relations, and market dependence. That makes it intellectually valuable even for readers who disagree with its Marxist framework, because it forces them to confront the assumptions behind conventional origin stories. As a result, the book remains one of the most distinctive and influential accounts of how capitalism actually began. If you would like to support Ellen Mikeson's Wood, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.